Thank you, Brother Short. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Choir, you did an exceptional job. Thank you. Amen. Are you enjoying the presence of the Lord? I tell you, if I'm in a service that's a little tight, a little bound up, I get really, really nervous. Because one thing I count on is that where two or three are gathered together in His name, there's where He's at in the midst of them. And I know He's here when we hit a time like that. But sometimes we have to prepare our mind. We have to push through some things. Amen. There's spirits that sometimes come and try to bind up a service, try to keep us from receiving what God has for us. But my conviction is this: we can have a breakthrough and a move of God in every service we have. I'm not one of those that says, oh, well, that's, sometimes it's this way. We'll just go home and we'll try it again next service. No, we're going to try it tonight. We're going to try it this afternoon. Amen. We're going to have a move of God by God's help. Amen. Before I get into the word of the Lord, I just want to remind all of you that there will be dinner on the grounds next week. All you need to bring is yourself. Church is furnishing everything that we'll be eating. And it should be a great, great time in the Lord. It'll be a fifth Jubilee service. All of our other works that God's allowed us to be instrumental in starting will be here with us. And you better come early and get you a seat, because otherwise you're going to be standing and looking around trying to figure out where you can find a place to sit next week. Amen. And we're just believing God to just give us a special, special move of the Holy Ghost next Sunday. Amen. Amen. Might as well plan on out ahead of us a little ways. I also greet all of our guests. Thank you for being here. Look forward to meeting you and God willing seeing you again. Amen. And all you good, faithful people that contribute to my salary. And more than that, to the work of God here, we appreciate you very, very much. Amen. Let's look in the book of Acts in chapter number 26. I want to read three verses of scripture from that, and then one verse of scripture from Hebrews 11, verse number 13. Amen. When it's located, when you found it, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, when you wake up, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, good, good. Acts chapter 26, verse number 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In other words, he said, I want you to be almost and beyond almost. Amen. Because almost won't get the job done. Almost saved will bet you a place in hell when this life is over. Amen. We've got to go all the way with God and not just come up to a certain point and then say, I'm not going any further. Amen. So I want to preach on this subject today, beyond almost. Beyond almost. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence that I feel right now. God, I ask you to anoint as your word goes forth. Open the hearts, open the minds, open the ears of the hearers. Give them a heart to hear and receive and to obey the word of the Lord. God, I ask for a door of utterance to be open, that you would give me strength, that you would touch my mind and my body and my spirit. Lord, let your will be done in this place today. Let your perfect will be done in this house today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I read you passage of scripture that tells of Paul's testimony before King Agrippa. This was probably one of the most exciting moments in Paul's entire ministry, because he had the ear of the king and the powerful monarch that he was. And this man was receiving what Paul was telling him. He had an open mind to a certain point. And he's weighing it out and he's listening carefully. But then we come to a certain point, and Paul said, "I know thou believest." Now, you know why he said that? Because he knew somewhat of his background, and he also what he knew in the spirit. He knew that Paul, or that Agrippa, was believing the gospel that he was sharing with him right now. He believed it. It takes more than just believing that's the truth. It takes obedience to the truth in order to be saved. And so here he is at this point in his life where it's going to go one way or the other. It'll never be the same again, because he has come to the knowledge of the truth. And he did not deny that it was the truth. But he said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to kind of wait this out. But I'm going to let you know this. You almost got me in the church. I'm really thinking about being a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But as I said earlier, almost will get you in worse trouble with God than what you were before. Coming to the knowledge of the truth and not accepting it, not being willing to obey it, is an insult to God that wrapped himself in flesh. He came to earth and died for your sin. And once he reveals himself to you, and then you say, "Well, thank you, but I'm not interested right now," or "I'm not willing to pay the price. I'm not willing, amen, to purge sin and ungodliness and all the things of the world out of my life. There's just some things I want to do before I settle down and get in church and really serve the Lord." I'm going to tell you, we're running out of time. If this is not the end time that we're seeing, I don't know what it's going to be like when it gets here. Amen. The things that we read in the Word of God, you can pick up a news report or some kind of magazine or journal or something where reports are being given of the things that are going on around the world. They flood my email with this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, I close some of them out because too much stuff to look at, and here comes some more. When you read that, you read some of the chapters in Revelation, you read Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, and some other places in Scripture, lay it down there, and it sounds like that they are the ones that just wrote the articles about what's going on in our world today. Amen. We are nearing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not ready for his coming today, you better get ready while you've got time. You're going to have an opportunity before this service closes. You need to get your mind set right now that I'm going to obey the word of God. I want to be saved. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be lost. And I thank God that I'm in a church that believes in the new birth experience, that believes that Jesus can deliver you from sin. He can wash you white than snow. His blood will cleanse you. Amen. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. Thank God it is a Holy Spirit that God fills us with, not a spirit of iniquity. Amen. That says, "I don't want to come under authority." Amen. But a willingness that comes to you that I want to be what God wants me to be. I want spiritual authority in my life. I want to do what's right. I want to please God more than anything else. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise together right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You can be seated. Let me pause just for a moment here and give you just a little background on Apostle Paul. He was a strict Pharisee. They were those that studied the law, and they tried to just every little jot and tittle, every little dot over the I and cross on the T, they made a big deal out of that, made a big deal out of it. Amen. They would pray out in the marketplace, out on the street corner where people could see them. On the days they fasted, they dressed in such a way and went around so everybody would know, oh, bless their heart, look at them. They are fasting. You know what made Paul a little different than the rest of them? He was gung-ho.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't just trying to impress people. He was passionate about the things that the Pharisees taught and the things that they did. And so this meant a lot to him. And when this Jesus movement got started, when this Jesus supposedly raised from the dead, and his followers begin to go around telling everybody, we saw him in the flesh. We saw him when he was taken up into the clouds. He told us he's coming back. They didn't believe it. Amen. They thought, this is so dangerous. If we don't get a stop to this, they're going to turn the whole world upside down. Everybody's going to want to be a Christian. I'm telling you, if people understood what being a Christian was about, everybody would want to be a Christian. And so this was his mindset, and he began to be a leader in the persecution of the Christians. And he went out and he got them out of their homes and arrested them, bound them in fetters and took them and put them in prison, took their homes from them, took their furniture from them, separated families, and others they even executed. Amen, because they seemed to be like a leader in certain areas. And this is what he gave himself to. He became notorious, at least in Christian ranks. Of course, he wasn't going by Paul then. This was before he was changed. His name was changed. But it was Saul of Tarsus. In other words, he lived in Tarsus. That's where he's from. And his name is Saul. And when you spoke his name amongst Christians, they literally just begin to almost shake with fear, because they knew that he was out there even as they were talking, probably pulling somebody else out of their home and taking them to jail. And so here he is. He was there at the first martyr of a Christian. He held the coats of the young men that were throwing the stones and killed that man of God. And so he was on a mission here, and he was on his way to Damascus, and there was a whole group of Christians he heard about in Damascus. He went there with the intention to apprehend believers, and it turned out a little bit different than what he thought it was going to be. You know the thing about him? In spite of all of the evil things he was involved in, there was sincerity. He was not persecuting these people because he wanted to persecute people. He thought he was doing God a service. That's what the Bible says. Amen. He really thought what he was doing was the right thing to do. But God wasn't pleased with that. But you know what? If there's any place in your heart at all that is oriented or open to God, God knows how to work in that part of your life. And Saul had papers in his hands, and he's on his way to Damascus, and he's breathing out threatenings, and he's all worked up, amen, as he's making his way down the road. And he's got others with him. They're his deputies. They're the ones that's going to do the work. He's the one that's over this expedition. And as he's going, all of a sudden, out of heaven, shone a light brighter than the midday sun. So bright, he fell on his face, and others fell. And he was blinded by that light. And he was laying there. And the Lord spoke to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He recognized it was the voice of God. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Do you know what the Lord said? Yes, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You know, when we work against God's people, we're working against God. God takes that personal. Amen. Because we are his sheep. We are his sons and daughters. We are his bride. We are his family. We are the apple of his eye. And when somebody comes against the children of God, God gets upset about it. He said, look, why are you doing this? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He's talking about that goad that they goaded that ox with to keep him moving along, pulling that cart or pulling a plow or whatever they might be using him for. When he'd try to stop, they'd just prick him there on the back of his leg, down near his hoof. Just give him a little tick, or up on the side, touch him a little bit. And that kind of motivated him to keep moving. Amen. And God said, you know, I've been dealing with you for a while. I'm preaching to some folks here today that you're not here by accident. God has been dealing with you for a while. You need to admit it to yourself. Amen. Here in just a little bit. And let God do the work that he wants to do in your life. You see, Paul, when he got converted, he believed everything that was written in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ and everything that had been spoken by his apostles. Plus, he had quite a relationship with God. God showed him many things by revelation and by vision. And Jesus taught that you must obey or believe the gospel and obey it in order to be saved. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, you got to believe it before you act on it, or it won't do you any good. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But there's a flip side to that coin. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you want to be saved, or do you want to be eternally damned in the lake of fire? That's the decision that you are going to have to make. And so this response to the gospel that old King Agrippa gave, he's not the last one to say it. Amen. It's been repeated innumerable times from then and even now. You see, so many people come to our church and visit, and they like what they feel, but they don't like to do what has to be taught to really be born again in the water and of the Spirit. It's so sad. It's so grievous. They just don't want to totally surrender their life to Jesus Christ. There's reasons. Some of them are just more concerned about what friends or others close to them might think than experiencing true Bible salvation. They listen to others around them that tries to convince them, you don't need to do that. The Bible didn't really mean that literally. The Bible says, and here they go, pulling scriptures out of context and twisting and resting them one way and another to their own destruction. You better not listen to what people tell you that's trying to turn you away from the truth. You better open your heart, amen, and receive into your heart the word of God, the truth that will save your soul. And so it's imperative that you go beyond almost. You need to go all the way, amen, till you obey completely, amen, the word of God about how to be a Christian. And then put in action and put those things that you have learned into practice in your life. And everybody say amen. Okay, so I read a little text from Hebrews 11, verse number 13. And in this text, it talks about these people. It begins with the first one it mentions is Abel. And then it talks about Enoch. And then it talks about Noah. And then it talks about Abraham. And all of these are what we term as heroes of faith. This kind of connects with what Brother Waldrop was teaching this morning, earlier, this, well, one morning, It's actually 12:30 to 1:30. But anyway, what he was teaching earlier today. And so these men all had something in common. But listen to this. The first thing they had in common is they all died. But the good news is in the faith. These all died in the faith. Not having received the promises. Promises that God made to them. Promises that God made to Abraham. But Abraham was faithful. Amen. He spent his whole life after he was separated from his home country. He spent the rest of his life being led by the voice of God. And he was looking that whole time. The Bible tells us he was looking for a city that was not made with hands, but it had foundations. And to a man that had been living in a tent for decades, a home with foundations probably sounded pretty good because it would make his wife happier. About the time she got comfortable, we got to pull up the stakes and move again. You know what? You're never going to find complete fulfillment and satisfaction in the things of the world. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. You're not going to find total satisfaction in the things that you possess. Amen. It's what you've got invested in heaven. Amen. Whatever you set your heart on, that's what you're going to love. Amen. We need to put our heart on heavenly things. Okay. But let's talk about this. Abel, he died for doing what was right. The first murder victim killed by his older brother who had no remorse. And when God dealt with Cain, he wouldn't listen to God. His heart was so hardened against the truth that he refused to confess that he needed God's help. And then it comes on down. Enoch, he walked with God. He had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. He was not, for God took him. My, what a type of the rapture. This happened before the flood. Amen. That's when the world was destroyed. And I believe before the world is destroyed, the rapture of the church is going to take place. I'm not here to argue about it, what particular point in time, but I guarantee you we're not going to be here when this world's on fire. Amen. Between now and then, God's going to come and take his church out of here. Amen. But anyway, we come on down then to Noah. Amen. Who was a righteous man in his generation. And God came down and looked upon man and he saw how evil and wicked and perverse they were. And it sounds like the day and hour that we're living in. And he said, I'm sorry that I created man. I'm going to clean off the face of the earth. I'm going to start all over. And then it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It doesn't matter what kind of circumstance you're in. You can find grace in the eyes of the Lord if you walk circumspectly and obey the word of God. Everybody say amen. And so as we go a little further here, we talk about Abraham. And God said, I'm going to give you a son. You're going to become a great nation. And on he went, explaining what all is going to take place. And so that's what Abraham held to, is those promises. He said, I'm going to take you to the land. I'm going to show it to you. Everywhere you set your foot, I'm going to give it to you and your descendants forever. They're over there fighting over that right now.
You're right, sir.
But they're not going to get it. If they do, it'll only be temporarily, because God promised that to Abraham thousands of years ago. Amen. And God is a promise keeper. Okay. But it says these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but they saw them afar off. Amen. Everything that God promised was in the future for them. But we are the ones that are on this side of the cross. And we are partakers of the things that they only heard about. And they only got little glimpses and so forth. But they all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Okay, they had a revelation. They had an understanding. They knew what the promises were. Amen. And they knew what they were looking for. As I told you, Abraham knew he was looking for a city that has foundations. Amen. Whose ruler maker is God. Then it says, and they were persuaded of them. And they embraced them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These four things each of us must possess. Amen. We got to get a revelation of the promises of God, the things that God has promised to us as believers. Amen. And then we got to be persuaded of them. I'll describe that for you here in just a little bit. And then we've got to embrace it. Amen. As you would your companion. Hold on tight. And then we've got to confess, amen, that we're just strangers and pilgrims in this earth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Is that how you feel? Are you getting tired of this sin-filled world that we're living in? Amen. Are you ready to hear the trumpet sound and Jesus to call your name and for us to be caught out of here in a moment in the twinkling of an eye? Amen. I want to see everybody saved that can. Amen. We're going to keep working till Jesus comes. Amen. But when that day comes and we leave out of here, I'm going to be happy. Amen. If it's after I die and you're still alive, I get to go first. So I'll greet you when you get up to that level in the sky where we are. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is a promise from the Word of God. Get it down in your gizzard. Amen. Don't turn loose of it for anything. Get your mind and your eyes off the things of the world and get your eyes on heaven. Amen. Get your eyes on the prize. Don't look off. Don't become distracted. Amen. Don't allow the devil, amen, to trip you up at this stage of the journey. Amen. So number one, you got to have a revelation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. How many of you believe there's only one God? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. Amen. Is that how you feel about Jesus today? Do you love him with all your heart? Amen. Do you love him more than you do your own life? Do you love him more than anything else in your life? Amen. When you get that revelation of who he is and you see the beauty of what he has prepared for us, what you get when you get born again of the water and the spirit. My, if you've never received the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues, you are cheating yourself. Amen. That's the most wonderful experience that you could ever have in life. Amen. That's as close to heaven as you're going to ever get. Amen. But when what you feel, amen, when the Spirit of God moves on you and baptizes you with the Spirit of God, and you hear yourself speaking and praising God in a language you don't know what you're saying, you don't know what it means. You know it doesn't sound right. It's not something you learned at school or learned from your mom or your grandpa. Amen. But it's something that's miraculously happening within your spirit and coming forth through your mouth, through your vocal cords. Amen. As you praise God in a language you don't even know what you're saying. But my, what an experience. What an experience when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everybody that's dissatisfied with the Holy Ghost, everybody that feels like they got shorted and cheated when they receive the Holy Ghost, stand up and declare it right now. No, you don't want to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You don't want to deny that it's of God. Don't ever deny it. Not in word or action. You can deny it by being quiet sometimes. When people say things to you that you know is against God and against the Holy Ghost, don't be mean or hateful, but let them know that's wrong. I know because I've experienced it for myself. I'm a tongue talker that you're looking at right now. Secondly, you got to be persuaded. You got to listen. You got to obey. You got to yield. Amen. You got to Cast your vote. This is what I want to do. Amen. You got to be confident that this is from God. This is what I want to do. I'm going to go beyond almost. Boy, I went to that apostolic church. It was hot. I'm telling you, I almost went to the altar. Well, shame on you for not going because you disobeyed God. Well, I just felt, no, it's more than a feeling. It was God's spirit talking to you. Amen. Because he's got something wonderful that he wants to do for you. Amen. So you're persuaded and you embrace it. I mean, you get your arms around it. You lock it up. I'm not turning loose of it. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I'm going to be here every time the church doors open. I'm going to be here when it's prayer meeting time. I'm going to be here when it's Bible study time. I'm going to be here on Sunday. I'm going to be here whenever, every time we get a chance. We in a revival. I'm going to do my best by the help of God to be at every service. Come on, let's get involved in this. Let's quit treating it like it was a pastime, like it was a something that we turn to every now and then because we were like somebody's mentioned going fishing or going hunting or something along that line. No. This is every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Amen. We got to get into this with everything we have. Embrace it. Joyfully pursue those things that God has in store and in mind for you. And last but not least is confess, which actually means profess. And it's a word used more broadly than just confessing a sin, which we certainly need to do that. But we do that before we get the Holy Ghost. But it means to acknowledge. It means to declare. It means to freely profess to people that I'm a worshiper of God. I love to praise. I love to celebrate in the presence of God. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of what you've got. Amen. You wouldn't want the Lord to take it away from you, surely. So typically, what we run into, listen to me, I'm going to wrap this up in the next few minutes. People that balk at complete surrender to God are usually struggling, not with many things, but with one thing. And the one thing sometimes that people struggle over is so trivial that obviously they're not thinking straight, that they would jeopardize their soul for eternity for one little thing from the devil's toy bag. One thing. You see, Jesus ran into that. I mean, since I was a little boy, I've always imagined myself being there with Peter, James, and John, and Jesus coming by and saying, "Will you be my disciple?" "Yes, sir. I want to go. I want to be your disciple." Amen. And I've never been able to even consider how a person that Jesus personally invited to come and be his disciple, and over one thing, they balked. Said, "No, I can't do it." There was a very rich young man that came to Jesus one day and he said, "What one thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, down through the law, did the rundown, you know, the Jewish stuff, just kind of leading him along and feeling where he was at. And he said, "Well, I've kept all the commandments and I help people and I do this and I do that." And Jesus said, "There's one thing thou lackest. One thing that's standing between you and heaven. What is it? You've got to completely surrender. You got to do it. And in your case, you are so in love with your money that you can't hang on to that and serve God at the same time. Because remember, his disciples left all to follow Jesus. They didn't leave big bank deposits behind them. They left their table, the desk where they collected taxes. They left the boat where the ones that were commercial fishermen and so forth and so on. Amen. They left all to follow Jesus. Isn't that how it's supposed to be? Amen. And every one of us has things that we prize, things that we possess. But I'm telling you, anything that stands between you and total allegiance to God, God expects you to get rid of it. Well, I don't see where it says in the Bible, blah, 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 but it does paint your picture there. And you're one of those people that probably can't handle that particular activity or whatever possession it might be that you're locked in on. But I'm telling you, whatever it takes to serve God, it is a bargain. Amen. And so Jesus told him, he said, here's what you're going to have to do. And the Bible says he really loved him. And when there's this account's given in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so a lot of focus and attention is given to this event that happened. And in one place it says, and Jesus was very saddened. And he was very heavy and disappointed that this young man, he really loved him. He wanted him to be his disciple, but the man just wouldn't pay the price. And so the one thing, let me ask you this, where do you think that young man is today? Somebody that would trade his wealth for an opportunity to be one of the disciples, which could have easily been one of the 12 apostles. Could have been. And he turned it down because he loved his money more than he loved the favor of God. Jesus said, what you need to do, sell all you have, take your money and give it to the poor, and take up your cross and follow me. And he walked away very sorrowfully because he had much money. My, my, my. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Wow. I wonder just what kind of treasures waiting for us in heaven. I know the streets are paved with gold, so it's got to be better than gold. I know there's all kinds of beautiful, precious stones, the size of which we have nothing on earth to compare with. What people down here would pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for, or maybe into the millions, depending on how rare the gem was and how flawless it was, etc. It could even go into millions of dollars. And up there, you know, they build walls with jasper, and they use all these precious stones everywhere you look. What treasure do you have in heaven? I tell you what, it's our relationship with God in heaven. It's in a place of perfection, a place where there's no sin. No sin is allowed. Amen. You can once you are saved and you leave this life ready to meet God, whether it's through death or if we're still here at the rapture, you've got it made, my friend. You're going to live forever, and you're never going to sin. You're never going to be tempted or tested. You're being tempted and tested down here. You pass this test, and you get a free ride for eternity. And we're going to be doing things like worshiping the Lamb and praising God. And I don't know what all. Surely we're going to talk to one another and get to find out some of the details from some of the things we read about in the Bible, on and on and on. But he said, you come and take up your cross and give away what you've got. Give it to the poor. You're going to have treasure in heaven. Take up the cross and follow me. He was unwilling. He was so sad at the saying. He went away grieved. He had great possession. And Jesus looked around and said unto his disciples, man, I'm sorry to tell you this, but how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? We talked to some young people. We've got a lot of graduations going on. My goodness, I don't know how many altogether we recognized last night. Those that graduated from high school, those that graduated from a Bible college, those that graduated from secular colleges, different schools and whatever. It was quite a few. And anyway, let me just say this to you. I'm proud of every one of the students, every one of you that have succeeded in passing the grades and fulfilling all the requirements to receive the diploma that you have received over the last little while or will receive shortly. I'm proud of you. But don't put trying to make a lot of money ahead of serving God. What I'm trying to say is keep him first. And I'm going to tell you that could be a real trial. I know, because that's what I had to deal with. Had an opportunity to go to Tulsa University, all expenses paid from two different sources. And that's when God really nailed me down about my call to preach. And I turned down those scholarships so somebody else could benefit from it. And I went to TBC and got me a job pushing grocery carts. And then a job picking parts out of bins in an auto warehouse. And just anything else we could find. And paid my way through when I could have had a free ride. Because you know what I have my heart set on? I confess to you, I intended to be a millionaire and at a young age. And just about everything else I ever tackled up to then that I made up my mind I was going to do it, I did it. I don't know if I could have or would have, but I guarantee you, if God hadn't stopped me, I would have given everything I had and would have lost my soul as a result. Don't put the things of this world ahead of doing the will of God. And some of you that have big degrees have a calling on your life. So you're going to follow a certain line of work. And that's what you're going to give your life to until you can retire. And then you might just preach around a little bit here and there. I'm going to tell you what, if God called you to preach, you better preach. You better find his will and get right in the big middle of it. Because we can't allow anything to come between us and God. And then last but not least, there was a man, and the Bible calls him a disciple. This disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now a lot of people read that and thought, that is so mean of God. He wouldn't even let him go to his daddy's funeral. Well, what you don't understand, he wasn't talking about his dad hadn't died yet. Okay? But in their culture, as it's been in most cultures, should be even probably more so even in our culture. But the children took care of mom and dad when they got to a certain age and weren't able to fully take care of themselves. But the Lord told him, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to follow me. He said, here's how he said it. But Jesus said unto him, follow me. And this sounds really crass. He said, and let the dead bury the dead. In other words, he said, there's plenty there with him already. They'll take care of him if he dies. But you need to be fulfilling your calling. I didn't know I was going to get off in this, but I'm talking to some people here today. Amen. Do not allow anything to come ahead of your calling. But here's what we got to have. Amen. Come on, somebody, get ready to help me. We got to have the willingness of Zacchaeus. The Bible says that he was a chief publican. That wasn't a Republican or a Democrat. Amen. That was a term they used to say the man was a horrible sinner. And they said he's a chief publican. He's one bad boy. You hear me? He's done a lot of simple things. Probably living in sin right now. But he heard that Jesus was going to pass through the area. That man that was so wrapped up in sin and so notorious. What a terrible, terrible reputation he had in the area. There was a part of him that man could not see. But Jesus knew the very thought and intent of his heart. And Zacchaeus said, I want to get a glimpse of him. And he was short of stature. He couldn't see through the crowd. He climbed a sycamore tree. He's sitting up there in a tree. Now, buddy, that must have been a sight to behold. But you know what? I promise you, if you had been there and you knew Zacchaeus, you would not have laughed at him. At least not where he could see you or hear you. Amen, because he's a bad dude. And Jesus passed by and stopped. Looked up there at him and called him by name. He knows the name of every person in this building today. He knows who you are. He knows what you're about. Amen. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. And he looked up there and he said, Zacchaeus, I've got an appointment with you. Come on down out of that tree. I'm going to stay at your house tonight. When you go home, I'm going to be with you. Is there somebody here today that when you go home today, you'd like to have Jesus with you? Jesus never said one condemning word to him. He just went home with him. And Zacchaeus just started spilling it out. He said, Lord, he said, I want to do what's right. Here's half of all my money. Just take it and give it to the poor. Somebody said, why didn't he say all? Well, listen to me. Jesus didn't even ask him for that. And I promise you, with the spirit that Zacchaeus had, he would have given it all to him and went and borrowed some if he wanted more. He would have. And he said, and if I've taken anything from somebody illegally, if I falsely accused them, if I use the law back of me because I'm a tax collector, I'm going to go through my books and I'm going to check it out and I'm going to return their money fourfold. If I stole $100 from them, they're going to get $400. And Jesus said unto him, this day, not tomorrow, not next week, but right now, this day, is salvation come to your house. This day. This day. Would you stand with me? Oh, help me pray.